In Florida, people are beginning to return home, and the toll from Hurricane Irma is not as catastrophic as they feared. And for many in the US, evacuation was an option. In the Caribbean, things are much worse. On some islands, up to 90% of homes have been destroyed. Evacuation was not an option for many, and food is running out. There's also simmering anger at government response. In the Dominican Republic, Camila Rodriguez is Oxfam's humanitarian manager. Welcome to Iron Drive.
Thank you very much, Rafael, for having me.
Can you give me a bit of a snapshot across the region? What's the damage like?
Well, we have seen Hurricane Irma was one of the biggest Atlantic hurricane to impact on the Caribbean islands, and it has had various degrees of impact depending on the islands where it hit. Were smaller islands where it had a more direct impact, talking about 90 to 95% destruction. In the Dominican Republic, where I am currently based and where I work, we are talking about an indirect impact. The trajectory the hurricane followed did not make landfall in the Dominican Republic, but because of the size of the hurricane and the surge that it had, with waves going up higher than 10 and sometimes even 17 feet, as well as strong winds that went out as much as 295 kilometers from its center, we had a very important impact in the north of the country. And we can see that through some 24,000 people that were internally displaced. According to official data, we have field data that would indicate that that number is much higher than that. And we are talking about some 3,000 houses that have been affected, at least 150 that were completely destroyed. We are also still gathering data, of course, because floods are only coming down. But we have important losses in the north zone, agricultural losses, talking of some 40% of losses in the rice sector and some 30 to 35% losses in the banana sector, which are two of the most important export crops in the region that was impacted by the hurricane.
So food and cash crops have been smashed. How does the Dominican Republic cope with that in the long term?
Well, we are seeing an increase in the number of disasters that have hit the country recently. So, of course, Hurricane Irma has come just 7 months after the last flooding in the northern region due to an El Niño season. After Hurricane Matthew in 2016, the country had 43 consecutive days of flooding alerts, and there was very important flooding in the northern region. And just before that, 2015 and 2016 were a very strong El Niño phenomenon, and we had a drought that affected 1.6 million people in the country. So small-scale farmers have been affected within 2 years' time by these three extreme weather events. And so they are accumulating debt and accumulating losses, and we are concerned with their long-term capacities to rebuild and to recover because they have been hit pretty hard. What we have mainly seen is an unequal effect of disasters due to inequalities. So a lot of Oxfam carried out an exploratory mission this weekend in the northern coast, and we had incredible pictures showing how the houses that were destroyed were, of course, the most vulnerable houses, and houses that were built appropriately and that had correct materials and resources actually managed to sustain the hurricane. And this is very important in a country that is marked, Oxfam data shows that 71% of households suffer some sort of deficit, whether it be a quantitative deficit, so people that do not, families that do not have their own houses, or a qualitative data, so houses that are not properly built, that do not have access to services, that do not have access to potable water, or to electricity. So these are people that are very vulnerable to disasters.
Camila Rodriguez is with us. She's in the Dominican Republic, where she's Oxfam's humanitarian manager. You're listening to IRN Drive. Camila, just across the region, do we know how bad the damage is? I don't know if you know the full extent of the damage in the Dominican Republic, but across the Caribbean, do we know how many people have died in total? Do we know the total number of homes destroyed?
I believe those numbers won't be finalized anytime soon, as the impact is still being felt. Cuba was just hit, and waters have not retroceded yet. They are still affected by floods, of course. And it's the case for most of the Caribbean islands, where, for the example of Barbuda, was not only hit by Hurricane Irma, but then immediately after by Hurricane Jose. And these types of information take a lot of time to carry out, because in the time you get to raise agricultural losses and losses in communities that have been incommunicated, and we still haven't reached. So there's no final toll, whether it be on casualties or on agricultural losses or on destroyed houses. I think we're going to see that number continue to rise in the following days. But it is a catastrophe. It is a very important impact. And as we see more and more storms that get this strong, and as we see the links between the climate change and growth of inequality, we fear that this might become a much more common situation in the region.
The French, the Dutch, the British governments, they've all got responsibilities across that scattering of islands. I've seen stories of they're basically looking after the tourists from Europe and America first before they look after the locals. Do we know how much that indicates the true nature of the response?
Well, unfortunately, I cannot talk for the response in other countries, but I think it's a result of inequalities, and that we have seen in the Dominican Republic. The majority of the officially recognized internal displacements were tourists that were being removed from hotel areas, which were already pretty safe. I mean, conditions in an all-inclusive resort in Punta Cana are much safer than in vulnerable communities in the coastal area. So there is an issue with the quality of response and the capacity of response within the national response systems.
And what about the long-term recovery across the Caribbean, especially those really small islands that, as you mentioned, that the poorer you are, the tougher you hit? Do you think the local governments and international governments have the right plans in place for long-term recovery?
Well, this is still pretty early on, but talking from the Dominican Republic, there has not been a very long-term based or long-term focused response. And it's going to be a very painful one, because more than just the houses lost and flooding, there are a lot of issues that are long-term, like livelihoods losses, people that have lost their crops, that have lost their productions. And usually after a couple of weeks, when the flooding is down, there is a lot of loss of attention, and there is interest from the government to say that the adequate response has been given. And because this is much more difficult to quantify, it can be very easily made invisible.
And just where you are in the capital, Santo Domingo, I just wonder, the people who are actually around you, how's everyone feeling?
Well, we were very lucky, as I mentioned. Hurricane Irma passed actually north of us, and a bit north, even more than original trajectories expected. So in the south and in the most populated cities, there was very little to no impact. So there was a very good morale. There was general misunderstanding. One of the things we saw is that there was very poor management of information, and because this quickly became a very big media sensation, there was a lot of misinformation in the media, in social networks and online, that created a lot more fear that could not be managed by the national response systems, as of course social media moves a lot faster than national media and then official messages.
Camilla, thanks so much.
No worries.
Camilla Rodriguez joining us there by Skype. She is Oxfam's humanitarian manager in the Dominican Republic.